Almost every council across the country, big and small, is staring at a pretty hefty rates rise, arguing that they don't have any other way to pay for the services and the infrastructure people expect. You might have seen a story today from Rakiura, Stewart Island, where a landowner tried to fight a 500% rates hike. The average increase, FYI, is about 13%. But ultimately lost. And then earlier this week, Auckland councillors agreed to send an invoice to the government for a GST refund on council rates and new build houses. Local Government New Zealand says council's share of overall tax revenue has remained 2% of GDP for the last 50 years despite ever-increasing responsibility. So what are the alternatives here? More of the GST take, land value-based rather than capital, or a completely new system altogether? Well, to help us explore some options, I'm joined now by Chief Economist at the New Zealand Initiative and regular Nights contributor, Eric Crampton, who is appearing, I think, for the first time this year. Eric, kia ora.
Good evening.
It's great to have you here. Let's jump straight in then. Economically, from your point of view, what is wrong with how councils in New Zealand collect tax or rates, as they're called?
Well, it depends what level you want to be looking at the problem. Rates themselves might not be a problem. Central government loading local councils with a lot of responsibilities and costs that their residents might not value or want is a separate problem that can make the overall budgets blow out at councils and require higher rates. But Local Government New Zealand is right that central government takes an awful lot of the revenue share of consolidated government in New Zealand. That local government share has been flat for a very long time, and central government has been earning an awful lot more revenue as incomes go up and businesses earn more. It's also one of the more centralized systems internationally. So if we look at the OECD's database, you'll see that central government makes up about 89% of overall consolidated government spending. It's about the third or fourth most centralized in the world. And if you're looking at more centralized places, you're looking at like Costa Rica and Chile. Mm-hmm. Even the UK is less centralized than New Zealand. So councils have a pretty thin area of overall responsibility and spend. And because central government takes up so much of the space in tax collection, councils have a more difficult time in raising revenue through rates or just in general. All the oxygen sucked out of the room by central government, and there's not much left for councils to breathe. Part of the solution would be getting some of these central government mandates down. You might wonder whether, for example, in water quality, whether tiny councils might be able to choose to have a boil water notice once a year rather than spend an extra $100 million on a water treatment plant. Some of these decisions might reasonably be left for councils and their residents to decide on their own rather than being mandated by central government. Be one way of changing this, because a lot of those costs are pretty intractable for small councils with a small base. It's easy for a big city to afford a big water treatment plant. Mm-hmm. Small councils, maybe not so much. We could also think about transfers in areas where councils really don't have a way of recouping the costs. So thinking there particularly of places like Franz Josef, where tourists will put an awful lot of burden on local water treatment facilities, but there just isn't a ratings base there. So If tourists aren't spending money in a place, you can't really recoup it from them. If you tried to switch it all over to pay toilets, you'd probably wind up with messes out in the bush. There isn't a real way of solving the problem other than central government providing some transfers. So that's led to things like the Tourism Infrastructure Fund, which is still a pittance in the grand scheme of things, but it's kind of targeted that way.
It's one of the issues, Eric, that, you know, there are councils of all different shapes and sizes, and yet the instruments that they have in terms of, you know, raising revenue are relatively static. What am I right in saying? Are relatively static across when you know a really small council versus, you know, Wellington or Christchurch are in entirely different positions.
Well, they all rate across some combination of land and capital value. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, that at least in the tax apportionment literature, you want to have central government and local government taxing different things. So here, Central government taxes revenue that comes out of income and comes out of business revenue. Local government taxes land value and capital value through a rating system, which isn't quite a land tax or a capital or land plus capital tax. There can be some good reasons for that. It can also have some perverse incentive effects. So we wind up in spots currently where if councils do something awesome to enable local businesses to thrive and more people to want to move there, central government reaps most of the rewards of that through increased income tax revenue, increased business tax revenue, increased GST, and local councils have difficulty in providing the infrastructure that's necessary to support the growth. Now, that's not specifically a problem with rates. It's more of a problem around how infrastructure is funded and financed. Mm-hmm. The councils seem no longer able to set debt that's targeted to the infrastructure that's being delivered and backed by revenues that are enabled by that infrastructure. So it'd be easier for councils to fund and finance things like new subdivisions or new developments if the cost of the pipes and the roads that service that could be sheeted to those developments specifically over 30 or 40 years rather than going onto council's main balance sheet. Some of what central government is doing with Three Waters Reform might enable some of that. So that'd be hopeful. It would make it easier for councils to cover some of these costs through user fees on the beneficiaries of the infrastructure rather than loading it more generally. Other bits you might worry about. So occasionally you'll hear calls for things like bed taxes so that councils can put more of the costs of tourist-facing services on hotels. Part of the problem with that is if tourists are spending the night in a place, they are spending money there. And that does give councils a way already to recoup some of the cost of it through special ratings areas on the places where tourists frequent. So, for example, in Queenstown, the area around the lake is incredibly desirable. Mm. People are willing to spend an awful lot of money around there. It means that you could set a special ratings area around the places whose value is really tied to being the tourist-facing places. Mm. And that could be used to fund some of the services that are provided to tourists. And more volumetric charging on things like water would mean that tourists are covering more of their own costs.
Isn't the issue with some of the ideas that you're putting across there that, you know, the appeal of rates is that they are a relatively simple instrument? You know, they're pretty blunt, yep, but they're pretty simple. And the ideas that you're coming up with complicate things, and complication in matters of tax is undesirable in and of itself, right?
I wasn't recommending bed taxes. I also agree that they're kind of complicated and messy. I'm not sure that special ratings areas are all that complicated, right, though. We do have some of them. They just show up in your local rates bill and you probably don't even notice it. In Wellington, we're soon going to be having a special levy for the new sewage treatment plant for sludge. So we're all going to be paying an extra, I think it starts off at 50 a year and then ramps up after that to cover the cost of the new sludge facility. It's still fairly expensive, but it's a real cost of that service. More that can be done through user fees, I think the better. Sometimes councils will be worried about user fees because some people might not be able to pay. It's important that things that are done for equity reasons kind of get handled by the level of government that's best placed to do that, though. And central government is really the one that handles redistribution. If local councils try to do it, you start quickly getting into problems because some councils are a lot richer than others. Yeah. So some places have a lot of wealthy households, a lot of land value, a lot of income earning potential, and others don't. If you try to make equity a sort of a council level thing, then you're embedding some inequities. In general, we should have it that central government handles income redistribution and then that councils do a lot more on fee-for-service. But that does get to another area or an interesting idea that does come in from other places like Canada. There they run grants from central government to try to make sure that every province is able to provide comparable levels of services. Mm. So there they have a far more devolved system. Provinces are responsible for health. Provinces are responsible for education. They have to work within the confines of the Canada Health Act and other central government legislation, but it's the provinces that are responsible for delivery. And because some provinces are poorer than other ones, central government tops up the revenues that provinces get if they're poorer, so that they can provide services up to a baseline national level of expectation.
Eric, every time you come on tonight, I'm going to put you into this situation. I am making you dictator of New Zealand.
Please.
You're above the Minister of Finance, you're above the Prime Minister, you're above the Governor General, and you get to make three decisions that you think will have a positive impact in this particular area. Please tell me what those three decisions would be.
First, I would give councils more ability to do awesome things, have more autonomy, while sharing in the benefits if they get it right. So imagine if a council takes on something that's a little bit risky or a little bit expensive, let them carve out ability to do that, along with if central government gets a higher tax take out of that, whether income tax or company tax or GST, because councils have enabled something really neat, give them half. Right. Get a rough and ready figure of how much extra money central government gets when councils do something neat. Share the benefits of growth so that councils see it as an opportunity. Two, make sure that councils are able to issue debt that is ring fenced to specific projects. Well, at least compared to the U.S. In the United States, the kind of general obligation debt that New Zealand councils issue, that general obligation debt is kind of rare. Revenue bonds are far more common. So there you can have debt that is tied to specific projects and backed by revenues from that project without being stuck on council's main balance sheet. That has a few really nice aspects to it. Right now, councils are kind of hamstrung where ratepayers are always nervous when councils want more money. Mm-hmm. They don't know that the projects are going to benefit them, and it makes them reluctant to authorize more debt or to authorize more revenue. And councils haven't helped themselves by doing silly things often with the money that they raise, like convention centers in
Indeed.
Wellington when the water system is falling apart. If you had ring-fenced debt so that only the beneficiaries of the infrastructure paid for it, but you gave them 30 or 40 years to do it, a lot of really valuable infrastructure could be provided that's really beneficial for their communities and paid for over the lifespan of that infrastructure. The current government has suggested sharing some of the GST revenue from new construction with councils. I'm sure that by that they've been just a grant to councils that's roughly comparable to the GST take from new builds. Nobody can actually really track the GST that way, but you can get a rough and ready number by getting the value of new building, multiplying by 0.15, and sending that at least part of that back down to councils. They've recognized that there's an incentives problem facing local councils, and payments for doing the thing that councils currently don't have as much incentive to do is one way of avoiding the problem that we've gotten into, where central government instead has to do a lot of mandates on local councils' plans, forcing them to allow more housing. If you had the incentives right, you'd never have to force them to do any of this in the first place. They would just want to do it. And that happens in other places like, for example, Switzerland, where local councils have a lot more autonomy and a lot more authority over taxes. They want to encourage businesses and houses to happen in their district rather than in others because they get the revenue from it. Here, central government transfers kind of tied to the value of new construction can be a way of getting similar outcomes. And I guess finally,
briefly,
encourage councils to be shifting to land value alone for apportionment or consider a land tax rather than rates.
Interesting stuff. Eric Crampton, it's always lovely chatting to you. Really enjoy that. And look forward to chatting next time.
Always happy to chat. Good stuff. Thank you.
And that was Eric Crampton, who is the chief economist at the New Zealand Initiative.